Shop Superstar Premium, Extreme, or Platinum batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get up to a $15 gift card after rebate. O'Reward members can also get a $5 reward with their battery purchase. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Life is back on Sports Bettors, and BetUS has your NBA, NHL, UFC, PGA, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting on all of it. Log in to BETUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. BetUS for 125% bonuses with promo code EB125. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com with promo code EB125.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task, that's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass, it was tipped, it's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5, he'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in to hour number two of Old School, 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com. DP has exited the building as he goes and gives a speech in front of the ROTC program. So good luck, DP, I should say. I agree with Faisal five times on the text line. He will kill it. As always, feel free to contribute to the show for the next hour, 402-464-5685, the Sauter Heyman text line, the Honda of Lincoln hotline, both of those are open for you, as well as on the Sauter Heyman Jewelers video stream, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Big Sky has taken my place over there on the board, so he'll be controlling that, and I have taken DP's spot over here. So we'll be able to get your comments up on the screen, throw them up, talk about them. We'll be all good there. Just a reminder, if you were not listening last hour, join us tomorrow night from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Upside Bar and Lounge, 27th and Pine Lake. DP will be on air broadcasting live from 5 to 6, and then Husker basketball stars Kobe Webster and C.J. Wilcher will be broadcasting their show, The Truth, from 6 to 7. Husker volleyball starts at 8 p.m. tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network. They host number 7 Purdue, so come on out. Hang out with the guys from The Ticket, free food, free giveaways, including Husker jerseys, including Husker autographs from Derek Walker, Damian Daniels, our good friend Michael Caton from Husker Women's Basketball. Get your picture taken, get autographs, free food, like I said. I think she said, Elena said that there's going to be a taco bar, so you can't go wrong there. I mean, it's Husker football bye week, so come on out, 27th and Pine Lake from 5 to 7. Hang out with all of us from The Ticket. And enter your name for some free jerseys and free giveaways. Big Sky, hello.
Hello, Nick.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very, very good on this, I guess, brisk but nice Friday.
Yeah, it's cold. I don't like this weather at all.
I enjoy it. I can finally wear my flannels again. This is like Montana. I'm happy again.
How many flannels do you own?
14.
And you know that just off the top of your head.
Well, absolutely. I had last year I went through my closet and I got rid of all of my t-shirts that didn't correspond to going under a flannel. So every shirt that I wear has a corresponding flannel.
Do you have different, like all of them are different colors?
They're not all different colors. I have a couple blue, a couple red. This is my only gray/green one.
Okay.
I have one that's all gray, but this is the only one with green on it. So I put my Baylor shirt underneath it.
Okay, so Flannel Big Sky is back. He's feeling good. It's a little chilly. Let me ask you this, Big Sky. It's a bye week. We've all had 6 or so days to let the Nebraska 30-23 loss on Minnesota kind of marinate in the back of our minds. What have your thoughts been over the course of this week, and just kind of what are your overall thoughts on, I hate to say it, but we're going to talk about it, the state of the program of Nebraska, because I haven't, it's kind of like a rehash of the student section here. And I haven't been able to hear your thoughts on Nebraska football and what you thought watching last Saturday's game.
I think last Saturday was kind of the reason why I lacked confidence in the team going into the season. We saw, you know, Adrian, for as talented as he is, have a rough game. No one was able to pick up the slack, and there was just some questionable coaching decisions that made you scratch your head. And that's kind of what I was looking at going into the season. Now, I might have been a little too pessimistic with my record, given they've already gotten to 3 wins. Mm-hmm. But, again, that all of the reasons why Nebraska faltered against Minnesota were the reasons I was looking at going into the season. So I was disappointed to see all those, because for the most part, they'd avoided them this season.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting part. And I'm always curious on how much fans take, not necessarily moral victories, because I'm not a fan of that word, or I'm not a fan of moral victories altogether. However, I'll admit, post Oklahoma, post Michigan State, it was tougher to have a moral victory coming out of that one. But Oklahoma, for sure, it was like, okay, Nebraska, they're starting to start to figure it out. It seems like there was that same story of, there was a special teams problem, but each week it was one different special teams problem, whether it was the punt coverage, which has been decent this season, or the lack of ability to kick a field goal, or anything like that. It seemed to be a consistent problem within the special teams, for example, but each week, once they fixed one, another one would pop up. So I don't know how much you can take. How much can you take from those top 10 games where Nebraska was close, right? That word again, close. But once again, they lost.
I think you can take away that the ability to be a successful team is there. They just lack certain finishing and clutch moments mm-hmm. in them that would make them, you know, potentially a top 5 team right now if they had gone undefeated through this mm-hmm. this early slate. I understand why a lot of people were predicting a much better season, because the talent is there. You see it every Saturday. There's flashes of the team we all hope the Huskers can be. But again, they just can never put it all together in 1 week. And that's why you want to be careful with the moral victories thing, taking
exactly.
away the moral victories, because we've seen time and time again, especially this season, we've got these moral victories, but nothing to affirm that we truly are headed in the right direction. Because at the end of the season, or today, you're still a 3-5 team, mm-hmm. Staring down 3 ranked opponents and a Wisconsin team you struggled against for the rest of the year for a chance at a bowl game. And at the beginning of the season, a lot of people were thinking 7 wins, 7-5, 7-5, mm-hmm. 8-4, and now a bowl game might not even be in reach anymore.
Let me ask you this, because I've heard this a couple times, not only today, but just earlier this week, and I don't necessarily believe it. I think that Nebraska getting to 5 wins, because you look at these next 4 games, Purdue, Ohio State, then you have a bye, Wisconsin, and then Iowa to finish it off. I always wonder that you can't adjust your expectations in the middle of the season, in my opinion. You can adjust how you're going to get there, what it takes to get there. You can change that. But in my opinion, you can't go into the season saying, okay, yeah, we expect 6 wins, and then halfway through the season when you find out you're 3-5 through 8 games, you can't say, okay, we'll be happy with 5 wins. You can't do that. And that's what I've actually heard. Number one, I don't think that's being realistic, because it's okay to understand that that's where your program's at, but it's not okay to accept that. Does that make sense? Am I making enough sense there?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like moving the goalposts, but making it easier to be satisfied, I guess. And that's why the Kool-Aid factor going into the season is always such a big deal around here, I think, because there is, in the back of people's minds, they kind of feel or know that they're setting themselves up for major disappointment if the team can't get to that benchmark that they're setting with a 7-8 win prediction.
Which, how wild is it to think that Nebraska fans could have been setting, and myself included, because I think I had 7 or 8 wins. I saw a path for Nebraska to get 7 or 8 wins this season, and at the time, I didn't think that was crazy. Well, but how crazy, how insane is it to think that Nebraska fans could be in the future and in these last couple years have been setting themselves up to be disappointed by saying 6 or 7 wins?
Well, I think the entire Scott Frost era has
absolutely
exemplified
agree.
Husker fans setting themselves up to be disappointed, because mm-hmm. a lot of people when he got hired were, okay, year four, you know, let's think about it. Year one, you know, bowl game. Year two, competing in the West. Year three, make the Big Ten championship. Year four, win the Big Ten championship. And that expectation has not been realistic at all throughout the first 4 years. And I think that is probably one of the reasons why it's so tense right now in the state, as these losses keep racking up, because mm-hmm. we've set this expectation, or fans have set the expectation to be so high. And again, I make a low prediction.
Life is back on Sports Bettors, and BetUS has your NBA, NHL, UFC, PGA, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting in all of it. Log in to BETUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS. BetUS for 125% bonuses with promo code EB125. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com with promo code EB125.
And then say, I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it prevents me from being disappointed. And makes it so, like, basically I can only be pleased with the team. Because either they're going to prove me wrong, or I'm going to get what I expected. And that's kind of what I was trying to do. I was kind of trying to cushion the blow of a bad season.
Which, and it's crazy to think about, and you said this a couple seconds ago about expectations for each year under Scott Frost and his staff. Year one, bowl game, or however it was. Even if you wanted to stretch that out and say, year one, little bit of progress because you understand what he inherited. Year number two, the staff told us, the staff is the one that said it, that they had their people in place, they felt good about their program. So that is where you really expect to see somewhat of a jump, in whether that means bowl game, whether that means a 5-7 win or anything like that. That's what that means. However, the problem with it is that we're finding out in year four is that the span of the progress has spanned over at least 4 years, probably more. Because in reality, through 4 years, you're still not at a bowl game, which is somewhere where fans, and I hope the staff, expected in year two.
Well, I think that should just be the expectation at virtually any Power 5 program in the country, is given at least given 4 years to build a roster and a staff at a school, you should be in a bowl game. I don't care if it's Nebraska. I don't care if it's Vanderbilt. That's kind of the expectation, because 4 years, that's the entire team at that point, with the very, mm-hmm. very exception of fifth-year seniors, are going to be all your recruits. So you should have had the ability to craft the roster completely around your schemes.
I completely agree with you as well, and we're going to have a phone call here in 1 second. But I just think that's very alarming, is when year two, everybody was kind of hoping, expecting a bowl game. Year four was really when Nebraska should be in the top echelon of the Big Ten West. It doesn't even have to be the whole Big Ten Conference. It just needs to be the West, somewhere that Nebraska has not been in recent staffs. I think that's fair to say. And so then when you look back this 4 years and you say, where has Nebraska really improved? And if you can't flat out point to something with full confidence saying that they've really improved here, that's where you kind of need to reassess your expectations and reassess yourself. Because at the end of the day, Nebraska fans, I know this, number one, just from growing up here, number two, from being doing a show and getting your guys' opinions on the text line, I know that accepting mediocrity does not fly here. And through 4 years, unfortunately, because it really does suck at the end of the day, that's what Nebraska's been. And it's too bad because the timeline or timetable of progress is being stretched out further and further, and you say, okay, when's this going to happen? Year six? Is that when Nebraska's going to get a bowl game? When back in December, on December 2nd of 2018, it was year two.
I would like to get to a point that you touched on during your monologue there, but
yeah.
First we have Dave on the Honda of Lincoln Hotline. Dave, how are you today?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
I wanted to tell you guys, it's really kind of, I don't know, it's kind of strange how Frost says he likes his team, and then the last few weeks he's talking about, well, we're going to have to go to the portal to get some guys. That's just sending fans like mixed messages and kind of losing faith in his team. But, you know, I think there's 40 bowl games, and last night when San Jose State went to 44-4, that made 83 teams that had 7 wins, 6 wins, 5 wins, 4 wins, and teams that are 3-3. Nebraska's the only team in the country that's played 8 games and only got 4 games left. There's 24 teams that are 3-3 that have 6 games left. Nebraska's not going to make a bowl at 5-7. I don't know why. I've seen some media pages that think that, but there's going to be enough teams this year to be eligible. But it's really kind of sad, guys. Frost had the team this year, and he blew it. Because next year, you know, the roster turnover is going to be huge. But thanks for fitting my call in, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dave. And I want to get to a couple things on the text line, because he makes a very good point about the whole 5-7. And, yes, there's the whole extra practices thing, and there's the whole idea of getting to a bowl game. But as a Husker fan and somebody that's seen this program, at 5-7, if Nebraska goes to a bowl, personally, in my opinion, I'm not too excited about it. Because at the beginning of the season, it was bowl game and 6 wins or more. It was never bowl game and 5 wins is okay. Because let's be real, as we still look back on that Foster Farms Bowl from Mike Riley when they were 5-7, and even though they beat UCLA that bowl game, it's more of like they didn't have 6 wins going into it. They got into there because of the APR and all that. And a lot of people are saying this on the text line, LOL, this isn't mediocrity, it's called sucking. We've been less than mediocre in the last 7 years. Mailman Dan says, I will have to push back, Nick. We haven't been mediocre. We have been closer to bad. And what I will say to that is true, number one. Number two is in games against Oklahoma, Michigan State, Northwestern, even though Northwestern is at the bottom of the spectrum in the conference, Nebraska's looked good against those teams. They've looked like they can play Big Ten football. But at the end of the day, they just haven't gotten the job done. And so that's where it's unfortunate here. 402-464-5685. We got a couple minutes left in this first segment. We'll get to quite a few of your texts here. Pete and Seward, expectations have been severely tempered. Asking for a winning season 4 years into a coaching staff is not unreasonable. Absolutely correct and valid. Absolutely. Because once again, I just don't like the whole idea of saying at the beginning of the year that, like for me personally, I'll use my example. I said 7 or 8 wins. I'll even go on the high side of 8 wins. I don't feel like it's okay to now sit here and you can assess your program and say, yes, Nebraska might be only good enough to get 5 wins, but I think there's a lot of us out there, including myself, that can agree that Nebraska is capable of having more and being a better football team than what's on paper.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to during your monologue during my first trip to get a phone call.
Yes.
Was you were talking, can we point to anything where this team is markedly better since Frost took over? And I think if you just look at the overall talent on the roster, you can't argue that this team is absolutely better. It's improved since Frost took over. And that's why it is so aggravating to watch this team lose week after week, because you see in flashes and, you know, maybe 3 quarters against Michigan State, this is a team that should be competing for a chance to go to a really good bowl game. You know, they should be a top 25 team. And then we go out and watch games against Illinois and Minnesota, and you're like, where was the team we were watching last week? What happened? What happened?
It's
to
mind-boggling.
That team? And I think that is why the tension around Frost and the microscope has intensified, because at that point you're saying, if the talent's there, the only thing that can be going wrong is coaching. Mm-hmm. That can be the only point where they're failing.
Well, and I guess that could be a whole other discussion here shortly, is that it's interesting to look at each position group and say, that without doubt that everybody in that room has improved over recent years.
Right before we get to Brian here, and then I go answer another phone call, Augie on the text line, does Luke Fickell not excite you? Somebody who took a Cincinnati program from American Conference irrelevancy and made them a number two team in the country. Does Luke Fickell not excite you if Nebraska could get a guy like that?
Well, I want to say this, is that when we're talking about hot seat coaches and coaches that possibly could come in here, and no matter how critical I am of this program and what I've said, I want to make it very clear. I want Scott Frost to succeed. I think a lot of people are still in that boat of wanting Scott Frost to succeed. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the wins and losses and how you feel about your program. And especially after last Saturday, and there's a very good chance that after next Saturday, fans could be feeling the exact same way and absolutely, and if not worse. I feel like this place could be dangerous. It could be on edge. And Gene and Lincoln says, absolutely not on Luke Fickell. Everybody has gotten better except the quarterback. I would say that Adrian Martinez has played better this season than freshman year Martinez. However, it's those clutch plays, I guess, those big moment plays that he has still failed on. And that's being realistic, but at in terms of a overall level, Adrian Martinez is a top three quarterback in the Big Ten.
All right, the calls are stacking up. Let's get to Brian on the Honda of Lincoln Hotline. Brian, how are you today?
Hey guys, doing well. Just a comment and a question. First of all, I 100% agree with what you were saying just a minute ago. I too very much want Scott Frost to succeed and the program to succeed. I think, you know, going forward, and, you know, I'll jump to next year here, one of the evaluations they're going to have to do after all these close games, and there's a lot of factors that go into it, execution and whatnot, is, but also the play calling. And I think Frost is going to have to take a hard look and make a tough call to whether he's the right person to be the play caller. There's been a number of instances over the last 4 years where there's been some very questionable calls, particularly in the close games, that one could argue, you know, may have cost him the game. And, you know, I think a decision that Scott has to look at is, hey, maybe it's time to delegate this and become more of the CEO, where he's coaching the coaches, and, you know, at least take that into consideration. But that's my take on it, because I do think that's played a factor in a lot of these close games.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brian. I appreciate it. Honda of Lincoln Hotline, 464-5685, Sutter Heyman text line as well. Both those open for you guys the rest of the way here. One thing I will say about Brian, and I just kind of thought about this when he was giving his opinion there, it's the same exact conversation that we were having at the end of last season about Frost and play calling, right? After that Rutgers game, it was, yep, it's time for Frost to fully give the play calling duties over to Matt Lubick. And then we find out that halfway through the season last year, they did that. They were both helping out with play calling. It's the same conversation, it feels like, every single year, and that's why it's so frustrating, is because it's the same conversation, it's the same feeling, and yet nothing changes. That's how I feel about that. Somebody on the text line, 464-5685, unnamed texter. The talent is not quite there yet on the offensive line and has not developed as fast as we hope, and that is most of the problem. I will say, I'm curious about this, and this is where you guys can have your thoughts on it as well, and we can carry this into the next segment here in a couple minutes. When we're talking about the hot seat discussion that has kind of, it's kind of been talked about to its core this week, is firing and hiring new assistants, is that going to help you feel better about next season? Like, that's where I'm curious about. Because we had a lot of people text in last hour and during one-on-one and even during my show at 2 that said, you know, we need to get rid of the offensive line. We need to get rid of the quarterback coach. We need to get rid of this so-and-so coach, whatever. However, at the end of the day, Scott Frost is still the guy making all the decisions. So how much better do you feel about Nebraska football as a program going forward just because they made a change at an assistant spot? I'm seriously asking.
And back to that point about the offensive line and the talent not being there, did the offensive line give up a punt return touchdown against Michigan State? Did they trip Jocko Ezeant? Did they go out of the shotgun against Minnesota? Did they not clear a hole for Adrian Martinez to get a first down against Michigan? The offensive line play has been
atrocious, lacking,
but it hasn't been so
it's
bad.
It's been atrocious, Big Sky.
It has not been so bad that they are losing games. The offensive line played well enough to beat Michigan State. The offensive line played well enough to beat Michigan.
But, Big Sky, it took them four games or however long to get their right guys out there. That was the frustrating part, is that they didn't have Nuili or Prochazka out there until halfway through the season, and that's the frustrating part.
Well, that's coaching. That's getting the coaching.
Either way,
get the line out there. But that texter is saying that the talent isn't there on the offensive line. Clearly, the talent is there because they have the guys. They just need to know which ones to play.
Because it's not developed, and they say that in the text. They said it has not developed as fast as we hoped.
Before we get to break, we have Brandon on the Honda of Lincoln hotline. Brandon, how are you?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just listened to you guys talk about, you know, where we're at in the season right now.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that kind of stands out to me, and did I hear you correctly, Nick? Do we have another bye in the late half of the season here?
Yeah, so we have Purdue and Ohio State, then we have a bye before we go to Wisconsin.
Okay. I think these two byes are key, just for the standpoint of the defense and how much the defense has been out there and the force that they've had to exert this year to keep us in the games that we've been in. The thing that really stands out to me with this offense, yes, the line is young. They're trying to gel together. You look at Juergens, he's been there now for a few seasons. It took him a while to get into a good rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
We all know he had snapping issues. That has not come up this year once. I think another year working together with this offensive line, I think you're going to reap the benefits moving forward. The concerns I have with the offense is, from what I understand, you guys just kind of talked about a little bit with the last caller, Brian, is the play calling. You watch that Minnesota game, it seems like P.J. Fleck and that defense knew exactly what play, and I would say probably 70% of the time was going to be called based off of the formation. Their linebackers, their cornerbacks were all up there. They strung out those short side of the field options plays, run plays, everything. They knew. This coaching staff seems to be better suited with play calling when they have nothing to worry about, like at the end of the year when we play Iowa and it's, well, we're not going to a bowl game, so why not just let out all the stops?
Mm-hmm.
Or when it's in a big-time game until it gets to, like, the last few, you know, play calling, whether or not we have the ball and we can't move it and we have to punt it away and give up a touchdown. It's just those play calls are what drive me nuts as a fan.
Thanks, Brandon, for the call. I appreciate it. And what I will say this before we get to break here, in terms of diversity on play calling and stuff, I talked about it on my show a little bit earlier today, or earlier this week, I mean. In the red zone specifically, Nebraska has snapped the ball 107 times in the red zone. And this stat gets more and more mind-boggling the more I say it, and I keep bringing it up because it's so relevant and it ties into every single conversation when we talk about Nebraska's offense and their play calling and their problems on offense. They've snapped the ball 107 times in the red zone, and they have ran the ball 91 of them. So, Brandon, when you ask, you know, it seemed like Minnesota knew what Nebraska was going to do on Saturday, you're absolutely right. Because they had a 85% of the time in the red zone, especially, Nebraska runs the football. And then you look at it and say Nebraska's 105th in the nation, right? Nestled between Kent State and Louisiana Tech in terms of red zone offense. And they were okay with matching up Nebraska receivers one-on-one multiple times in the red zone in man-to-man coverage on Saturday. Now, you can look at that and say that Nebraska's staff doesn't trust Martinez to throw the football in the red zone, and that very well could be. Or, number two, you could look at it this way, and I'll leave this for you guys to ponder. Nebraska coaches aren't willing to change their game plan for whatever the defense lines up. And that's what's more worrisome, is because over the course of the season and through seven games at that point before Saturday, the red zone offense was not working. And yet they still do the same things. Now, it's good to have an identity, but we all agree that Nebraska does not have an identity on offense quite yet outside of an Adrian Martinez run. Let's go ahead and take our first time out. Keep sending your thoughts. Keep calling in 402-464-5685. We'll continue this on the other side on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.